of the sun. Now presenting. Channeling Eric's Hour of Enlightenment.
Hello, guys.
Sorry about that.
Hello.
I was stapling stuff. Can you believe that while I was waiting? Sorry, this is Elisa Nettis, and I was almost late because I've been trying to figure out how to update my Adobe Flash Player because I can't, you know, I have to use my cell phone otherwise. And I have to use my cell phone right now. But that's okay, because I'm the least important person on this show. First, we have today Debbie, the everyday medium on the show. Debbie, you're going to share your alien experience. I had one in the tundra of Norway. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
But I want to hear yours. And Debbie has had 4 decades of experience reading and doing past life regressions and all that stuff. So I welcome Debbie, and I welcome, of course, my co-host, Michelle Gray, and, of course, my other co-host, Eric Medhus. Drum roll, please, for all of them.
Yay.
Eric says
Debbie,
hi,
what is your
and I say hi.
Hi,
hi,
Eric.
Debbie, what is your Debbie, so that people can also we'll put this in the description box, do you want to give your last name, or you want to just go by Debbie?
Debbie Lee.
And
Debbie Lee. I'm sorry.
Debbie Faye.
Debbie Fay.
How do you spell the last name?
F-A-Y.
Oh, okay. I thought, well, it's got to be more complicated than that, but guess what? Most things are not
We got all Debbie's info in here, too. We got all Debbie's info down here,
right.
So you guys can contact her, too. Yes, we've got it in here.
That's awesome. So, without further ado, Debbie, take it away. Tell us your story.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm a psychic medium, and I've been doing this since my early 20s. I'm retired now, so I've been reading for quite a while. When I was young, I saw things, and, you know, typical psychic kids see people and, you know, hear things and all that. And then I was very interested in paranormal stuff ever since I can remember. So I went to college, and when I was a sophomore in college, it was like 1972. I went parking with a boy. Now I know that sounds bad, but those days in 1972,
hussy, Debbie, you
I know it was awful. We had nowhere to go. What can I say? Take a back road.
Yeah, of course.
Anyway, back in those days, we just kissed. I don't, you know, that's all we did in the day. But I know you say you went park with a boy. Ooh, what, you know? No, we're going back now. Anyway, well, some of these young people are on this line don't know. So it was a long time ago. So in the middle of all this, I've got to go to the restroom. So I go to the bathroom, come back. We stayed just a little bit longer, and then we went home. And good night, whatever. And I thought, man, it's later than I thought it was. I don't know if I had a watch on. Probably not. Well, anyway, I went to bed. I woke up the next morning, and I had a hole in my hip, my left hip. I could put my little finger all the way down to the first knuckle in it.
What?
And it had a brown. Yeah. You're going to love
God.
This.
I've never heard
Lisa.
Anything like this before.
I know. When I was like about 15 years ago, I told a female doctor about this, and all she did is her eyes got big. She goes, no. Like, what was that? No. Like, it was funny to watch her. But anyway, I never told another doctor about it. Well, anyway, there was a hole in my hip, and it did not hurt. It did not bleak.
Wow.
Any kind of fluid. It was dry. You could see the subcutaneous tissue. Oh, by the way, I've been a nurse for 35 years in the meantime. But anyway, it didn't get infected. It never got infected. No pain, nothing. The little black band or whatever came off and eventually, but then it just filled in from the bottom. And it was, you know, a punctured wound does not act like that at all. And so,
no.
No, yeah, and anyway, so I didn't know what happened. I just didn't know. I just totally blanked out. Don't know what it was. And then I got into reading tarot cards a couple, 3 years later, and I started reading. And then when I got my nursing degree from the University of Florida, I just knew I was sent in there to do my psychic work there. And every day I'd go up and down the halls, and I would, you know, I'd know this about this person, that about that person. I know I bugged the doctors to death. I was one of those nurses. I know. But, you know, I'd catch stuff a lot. In fact, in 35 years of nursing, or was it 37, I never had one person code that I didn't have the doctor on call or at the bedside. That's,
because I knew they were.
Yes, I did. Absolutely.
Wow.
And so I'd have them there. In fact, it got so weird as my boss called me in and asked me. I was a charge nurse on a night shift, and I worked at Chance Hospital. Have you ever heard of Chance Hospital? Chance Teaching Hospital,
no.
Gainesville?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's their big teaching hospital in Florida. I worked there for like 13 years. But anyway, my boss called me in one day. She wants to know. She goes, how come no one ever codes on your when you're working? I go, I don't know. Because I always had the resident on at the bedside long before they were ready to code. That was the truth of the matter. I mean, she just asked me that. It was weird because there was another charge nurse that was opposite me. People were always coding on her shift, but never on mine, you know. But
wow.
Yeah, and then
let me ask you a quick question.
Sure, go ahead.
Let me ask you a real quick question. Did you ever find out what that hole was? And also, how big across was it? How wide was the hole?
You could take your little finger. Look at your little finger.
Okay.
It is that. It was that big, and it's up to your first knuckle.
Did you find out the reason?
Yeah, yes, I did. I'll talk about that in a second. Yeah, that's how big that thing
was.
Fine. Anyway, and it had this brown ring around the top of it, and that fell off in time. But anyway, so I had to realize I just had no memory of what happened at all. Nothing for many years. So anyway, I became a nurse, did all that, got my master's, taught, and was directors and all that stuff. And then I'm from Southern Indiana, so all my family was up here. So I had a child at that time, and I moved back to Indiana, came to my senses. Anyway, I came back to Indiana, and I just thought it was too dangerous down there for him, really. About 3 or 4 years ago, I was watching TV, and they was talking about how this poor man, his ranch was just being bombarded by UFOs and all this stuff. Oh, it was awful what was going on with him.
Mm.
And they got a hypnotist out of St. Louis to come down there and hypnotize him. And he could go back in time and know what happened and all the different things that happened. And I thought, because there's just this black hole in my memory, I can't get through it. I'm psychic, you know, and I still can't get through this, whatever this was. So anyway, a friend of mine happened to be got a degree in clinical psychology. So I asked her, would you hypnotize me? I'd like to know what happened. Something happened. And she said, sure.
Cool.
So yeah. So she hypnotized me. I went under pretty quick, and I went under, and I was there in 1972, standing outside that car. And I think it was Austin Healey, by the way. But anyway, I was standing outside that little tiny car.
Ooh.
Anyway, I opened the door to start to get in. I look up, and I see my body being lifted up into a saucer. It was just like, it wasn't like a bright light. It was a clear light, a clear force bringing me up into the bottom of the saucer. Now, I know, I want to know. So I went in there to think, I want to see everything, and I want to remember things that happened here.
Yeah.
So I was brought up, like, my back, you know, you see him back down and arms hanging down up into the saucers.
Yes.
And Then I was inside the saucer, and what I had done is they had a like a staircase that went down at the bottom of the saucer that they brought me up into. And it wasn't a very big saucer. It couldn't have been 40 feet in diameter. It was pretty small.
Okay.
It was never on land. We were up in the air.
Okay.
They brought me up into the bottom of it. So in front of me was a tall white. Well, I guess that's what it was. He had a bulbous head, the almond eyes, and skinny and all that.
Yeah.
He was taller than I was. And there was one behind me. He was like the one who helped bring me up. He was shorter than me, but he looked like the other guy. So
okay.
The saucer, one of the readings that you did or had done, you said, oh, I want to see what's inside that saucer. I thought, well, I could tell her, you know. That's why I left that message on one of your readings. And anyway, I looked around. Okay, they brought the staircase was up in the saucer, and I looked around. Now, to my right is a windshield. The windshield started started around the curvature of the craft all the way around, I don't know, maybe 10 feet, maybe 8 feet, mm-hmm. windshield, so they could see out, you know.
Yeah.
And under that was a instrument board. I mean, this thing was huge. It was probably 3 by 2 feet, and they had all these little green lights everywhere.
All
these buttons and controls and everywhere. And I thought, oh wow! And on the other side of the craft was a bench with white light on it. And I'm wondering, well, anyway, and on it looked like to be like specimens. They were little bags, and that's the first thing. Those are specimens, because it was just like a shelf. It was white and it curved, and they had white light on it. And then there was a whole bunch of specimens back there. And
did the white light have any purpose, like to do something healing or whatever for the or gather information, suck up the information for the specimens? I mean, there must have been a purpose to that white light.
The white light was to keep the germs down, to keep it, you know.
Oh, it could be.
To keep it was sanitizing the outside.
Yeah.
So, you know, they weren't picking up the germs of the alien light.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So
right.
In front of me is the big tall alien. Just behind him is an examination table, which looked a whole like the examination tables we have. Maybe they borrowed one of ours. But anyway, it was right there. And he says to me, they don't speak. It's all intuition, of course. And he says to me, get on the table. And I go, no. And next thing you know, I'm on the table. I'm on that table. Don't know how I got there. And I blacked out. And I didn't get any memory of what happened while I was on the table, except when I came to, he had a wand, that's all I can call it. It's like a long pencil-like thing, and it glowed like green, like kryptonite. And he took it, and he poked it in my hip.
Oh!
And he pulled it out, and he took a specimen of tissue, obviously. Said to him, No, there was no pain, no blood, no infection, nothing.
Oh.
And I said, what are you going to do with that? He looked at me and he goes, DNA. Oh, crap, you're taking my DNA.
Wow.
And then he put it into, I guess, one of their containers or whatever and put it on the shelf in the back with the rest of them. They had collected quite a few from quite a few people. And then I said to him, what did I say to him next? Anyway, something else happened, which reminded me of that the interview you did with the tall white alien. I felt the most incredible love I've ever felt in my life.
Isn't that amazing? God,
it was just, I know, you could feel it through your back, and it was just incredible love. And then the next thing I know, I'm on the ground getting into the car. And I, you know, yeah. I went home after that. Now,
well, what happened to the guy? The guy was you with, did he experience, does he have any recall? Or you probably lost mm-hmm. touch with him, I guess.
I don't, yes, years ago. He acted like he had no, he had no recall. He had no nothing.
Okay.
They knocked
Got
him
it.
Out. And he acted a little groggy, but we didn't stay that much longer before he said, let's go home. I go, yeah, let's do. So, Eric, according to Michelle, Eric said that was my awakening to my psychic skills. This was before. I went to college first in Indiana, and then I got my degree in biology and chemistry here, and then I went to Florida and got my nursing bachelor's. So that was long before I became a nurse. But anyway, so this is that was that. So fast forward with this. So whenever my friend did this hypnotism, and I saw all this stuff, and I said, wow. And so about 6 months ago, you know, I need to notify MUFON about this.
Yeah.
You all know who MUFON
yes,
is.
Yes,
it's called Mutual UFO Network. And I left them a thing on their site, and a month or so later, I got a call from MUFON. And they wanted me to tell my story, so I did. And he said that when I told him about the hole in my hip, he said, did I have a black ring around it? I said, yes, it did.
Wow.
So they cauterized it, but they didn't cauterize it like we cauterize it, you know?
No.
If we did that to a hole in somebody's hip, it'd be like a mess, you know?
No,
whatever they did. Yeah, we'd have to pack it and all that stuff. It'd be a mess. But anyway, they did, it healed up. He said, and that love, he goes, so many people talk about the love that I felt with this alien.
Yeah.
That's very common, he said. And he said that they used to, the old days, I guess that 72 was the old days, they used to have reports of the windshield thing. But he says they don't do that anymore. They don't talk about the windshield anymore. They've got better technology, I guess, now than they did then.
Well, they probably steer it with their own minds, you know?
Yeah. Or maybe
it's
a windshield.
Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead. Oh, I was just going to say, maybe
I can see
the windshield from the inside, but you can't see the windshield from the outside. I don't know.
Right.
But I certainly could see it from the inside of the craft. That's for sure.
Wow. I'd like to pause for a little bit, and I would love to ask Eric just a few questions about this story. Is
sure,
it okay?
I've got a lot of questions.
Okay. Now, Eric, first of all, I'd like to know why nurses are often psychics, healers, well, of course they're healers, but often, you know, abducted by aliens. Why is that?
Common? I didn't know that.
He says, he's starting to say, Mom.
I think so.
He goes, Mom, I love you. I love you, Mom.
I love
you. He goes, how about
that?
I love you. The reason why, and he says, think about the environment, first of all. He says, there's a lot of soul contracts with many healers. And many that are in spiritual fields, whether we are, he says, actually doing work like how Debbie and myself and you, Mom, like are doing it. But he says there's often these soul contracts because we're working in technology. Technology and medicine go hand in hand. And he says that a lot of these beings, and he's talking about this particular craft that connected with you, Debbie, was not only the tall whites, there was also a gray on board as well. He says,
oh,
is
that the short one?
Short one, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he says it's like a collective. He says you could consider them like a team. They have connected with many different beings on Earth, or human beings, humanoids would be how they would describe it. And a lot of them are connected into different fields of medicine. And that was actually the purpose of what they were collecting data for. And it had to do with technology, with their race as it was growing in the future. And now Eric just said that there are many different reasons, he says, why in the medical field, like, so each person may have an individual contract, different purposes. You, Debbie, it's very connected, he said, to information, expansion of light. He says it's connected to the growth of technology and healing. He also says that your path is being followed. Your path is being studied. And so there will be other instances. And if you were to do another past life regression, you would find out that you have had other instances where you were tapped into and studied as well. He says that they're
in
following you as you change. Mm-hmm.
Oh, in other lives. Okay.
No, in this life. In this life.
Yeah, that's one of my questions. How many times have I been abducted?
He says more than five.
More than five. Wow.
More than five.
All right, let me ask you a question. Eric, mm-hmm. How do these tall whites or whatever, any alien race, put people under? What do they use to put them under? Not the Michael Jackson drugs.
He says that it's not like there's two different ways. He says that there is like a serum, like a liquid that they can administer, but it's not administered necessarily with a tube. He talks about like hypnosis. So what exactly happened to Debbie, it was like a form of hypnosis. He says it's like a heaviness. It has to do with the mind, with projecting with the mind. So the example that he's giving me is like when she was told to go to the table and she said no, the moving, that had something to do with the consciousness, like with directing power of the mind. Eric says that there's a lot of parts of our telepathic communication and what the mind is able to do that is well enhanced. He says, think about a lot of these beings that have very big heads. They have
yes.
a lot that goes on in there that has other connects with different parts of our brain that can shut us down, that can put us to sleep. There are other ways as well. He shows like a red liquid that is completely floating. It's like there's not, it's not in a container. It's not in a tube. It looks like it doesn't even look like it's wet. It looks like jelly. And it's sitting like right over top of the table, like it would be administered. Something else I'll just tell you too is while you were talking, Debbie, Eric was giving me some images and he had me draw. He showed me the actual tool. So I've got a picture here before you even said it of that long instrument.
Wow.
And I've got written down beside it, cauterize. And that's exactly how Eric explained to me. That's exactly what was done. He said that there's light, there's beams of light, and so there's like it's like it captures and seals the skin upon touching it. It all happens at one time because he shows the instrument going directly in, and it. Do you know those dermatologists use them when they take a biopsy? They take a biopsy, like they're like the punch. I don't know what the proper name is for them, right? Okay. So when you take one of those, this is like the same thing, but when it inserts, it's like it cauterizes the skin at the same time. And there's just a little bit of it looks like dry ice that comes off of it as it's pulling out.
Oh.
So like that has something to do with sealing it. That was really interesting because it gave me a really good image of that while you were speaking.
Why can't they just take DNA without abduction? Why can't they powerful? Why can't they just use their thoughts? Let me see the DNA sequence.
Sometimes they do. Eric says sometimes they do, and they have for Debbie, and they will come. But it also depends on what's going on in that environment, and they also require some of their tools. They need some of the things that they have on board, on board of their craft or some of the, it's like Eric says, it's like having these certain tools because they're also dealing with a physical being as well. So it's not like, you know, there's other things that they're dealing with. So they need to make sure that they also have the privacy because they can smoke, they can do all kinds of things. They're dealing with different environments. So it's just, it's also safe. It's just a safe all around for everybody. So they do that more often. But Eric says that they will do biopsies or they will, people will often wake up and have just markings, like just brown spots or things on their skin that they know something.
Why? They're so amazing. Their technology is incredible. Why do they did they need to leave that hole and that mark of cautery? Why couldn't they fill everything in and make it look like, was there a purpose, like they wanted to leave that sign for humanity to?
Yes. Yes. Eric says, of course, Mom. He says, because had there not have been something left there, Debbie would have never questioned and she would have never gone to the trouble to say, hey, I want to try and figure out what happened then. And that's all part of this path. Mm-hmm.
What what is in store for Debbie now? Are they gonna have any more abductions or non-abductions, but still taking DNA or doing something with her? I mean, how many times is that going to happen in the future? When's the next one?
He says that she's going through a healing process right now. So he's in a rest period, he says. A recuperation, and so they're going to do a little bit more testing as she builds up her frequency, and there's also going to be communication with them. So she'll start to have, as the future goes on, she'll start to have more communication and have some more answers about, he says, her own DNA, because she is part of them. She's related to them.
Oh, is she a hybrid?
Yes.
Is he? Cool. So that's why they checking up on their product, their hybrid children.
That's right.
That's
right.
Fascinating. So is there a reason they choose sometimes those with psychic or healing and or healing gifts to study their DNA?
Yes. He says that because it has to do with humanity. They have such a deep interest, Eric says, in how humanity is expanding, and it also affects their future. It affects their technology. He's showing like a handshake. Yeah. It's like a handshake deal with everybody. And so he's saying that Debbie was put right into a scenario that she was able to have the right adversity growing up. She was able to connect to different parts of herself. Did you say, Debbie, you had no religion? Or you were not born with religion? Because he says...
Yeah, my parents were atheists.
Right.
Sound familiar?
Right. Because he says a lot of how, like, the circumstances that you were put into was to help develop you so that you could really ground yourself without having that, you know, having that extra to
like organized religion.
Mm-hmm.
Organized
religion
can be a very huge filter. Eric, what percentage of light workers and, you know, of course, psychics and healers are hybrid children?
He says between 35% and 40%.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So, do you have any comments about the white light that you described?
He said they're really cool. He goes, they're really cool.
cool.
He said that he's talking about it being a living consciousness, that the actual ship is alive. He said that it is telepathic, just like the beings that operate with it. So there's a relationship that they have with the ship. there's so many different things that the actual ship does, and he's showing me, I'm getting a very clear visual of the ship. And just to kind of line up with you, Debbie, he's showing me like the wraparound. Have you ever seen those towers, the revolving restaurants?
Yeah.
They have, you know, okay, do you know how it has that, like when you sit in a revolving restaurant and it has that big window that wraps around?
Right.
Like that.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like,
so it has that look to it. And so what he's showing me is also now it's like you can see up as well. You can see up and down. So it's like there's been an expansion.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So much of this sounds like what Emory Smith, the scientist who worked in Los Alamos or someplace and did dissections alien bodies and all that stuff. You can see it on Gaia.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
On what?
On the series, on Gaia, it's a channel. And Emory
Smith described
all of this through, what is the name of that guy that also talks about reptilians and stuff? I can't remember. Anyway, Emory Smith. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm. Emory Smith. I'm going to go check that out.
It's amazing. And, God, I wish I'd remember the name of it. Oh, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I had it, but then I didn't. Oh, boy. All right, so, what percentage of our listeners right now have been abducted? Mr. Archangel Eric?
All.
Huh?
Every one of you.
Oh, they were nudged then, huh?
All of us.
I've had people that say they didn't find this little, the molar has a little etched out triangle. I mean, there's all sorts of stigmata of alien abduction that's really quite interesting.
He says not everyone has been on a ship.
Oh, yeah, of course not. Yeah. One of those listeners is me, and I want to know more about, and then we'll get to Debbie. I want to talk about you and your path forward as a psychic, medium, et cetera. But, you know, when I was dying up there in the tundra, my temperature, core body temperature, when I was lost a couple of years ago, a year and a half ago, you know, got down to 84 degrees Fahrenheit.
Wow.
That is low, right, Debbie? But anyway,
yes, it is.
You would know that. And so
yes,
I should have been dead, but then I found out that I was abducted by Tall White. Thank you, Adrian. To save me, to keep me. And I do remember, I mean, I kind of remember dozing off and sleeping, but there was also just a punched out period of time that I don't remember.
I know.
Or wailing and screaming for help and all that stuff. Can you tell me about that ship and that experience and what they were doing, Eric, in more in detail? I hate to be gratuitous and ask about myself, but this could relate to other people who are listening.
Yeah, and he says, Elisa, he says Mom Adrian was one of them.
Aww.
He says Adrian was one of them. That's why Adrian is an ambassador that you feel so emotionally connected to, because Adrian is part of your divine team. So he's just validating that connection. So what they're showing is not lifting you up in a ship, but putting like a cloak on you. To be able to protect. So how it looks is like I can see them standing around you. I can see about four different entities or four different light energies around you. I can see them lifting your body. So you were lifting right up off the ground, and you're on your side. You look like you're crunched up in a ball.
Yes, I was in the position. I couldn't move. I was paralyzed.
Yes.
But yes.
You were lifted right up. And he says, what was wrapped around you, because I can see light wrapped around you, was preventing you from losing any more temperature, was preventing you from going any further, because you were so close to death that you were in that place where there could have been a point where it would go too far and you would have lost your life. That's why they stepped in. That's why they stepped in and they were able to assist. They were able to stop the process. And
Thank God. I'm so grateful.
Right before you were found.
Wow.
Because they were maintaining me.
That's really weird because there's a period of time where I stopped begging to something or someone to rip my soul out of my body because suffering was just absolutely it's indescribable. I tried to rip my body. Knowing how much I love my family and my grandchildren, all that stuff, I wanted out of there. But then I stopped for a while, and maybe that was the time they did that. And then all of a sudden, something told me, you need to scream one more time. And I did, and this, the Norwegian Red Cross comes.
Yeah.
Couldn't find me with the Sea King helicopter, couldn't find me with the dogs, couldn't find me with the grid. It was all over the news. Anyway, I don't want to talk about me now. I want to talk about Debbie. What is in your future? You say you're retired now, right?
Oh, yeah, I've been retired. I got cancer in 14, and I was unceremoniously retired. So I've been retired for a while.
Well, do you still have cancer?
No, it's all gone. They were small, and they got it all. But what happened was the chemotherapy and the radiation destroyed my health, quite frankly.
I've been just
ill ever since. I got the old fibromyalgia back in 95, but I was able to work and do all that. But whenever they did the chemo and the radiation, it just knocked me flat. And I'm laying in bed now. You know, I just don't have any energy and, you know,
thing. Can scalar energy, Eric, can you, the Divine Being help her with scalar energy? I mean, are there reptilians or other things involved that are making her feel like shit? We have fibromyalgia service. We have all sorts of services that are. But
yeah,
what does she need?
You saw that. But you said that, I'll tell you the reason
said that would. It would
be helpful.
But he's also I've arranged that Debbie and I are going to meet, and I'm going to do some energy work on her coming up.
Good.
And start to help her because. There's a connection that Debbie and I have with our commonality with breast cancer. And
I got breast cancer from her.
Yeah.
No,
bless her heart. Eric said that there's some healing work that I'm able to help with as well. The fibromyalgia would be something that would be very helpful with Scalar. And he says to have her do the energy work first with me.
Do that.
Okay.
But, you know, sometimes, I mean, with all energy work, you pretty much have to have super portal work with increased vibration because you have to remove a contract, clear energy block, a bunch of stuff. But sometimes that solves everything. So sometimes people don't need to order other services, and I beg them not to. if anybody out there has any problems, since you have to do the super portal work anyway, do it and wait because don't sit there and over-order things because, like, sometimes – people want to, I want to get the anxiety relief. I don't want to get depression relief. No. Sometimes that all goes away, too, with super portal work. So please, I'm begging you, do super portal work anyway. Just get that and be patient and wait. And just let the dust settle and see if there's anything you need. Sometimes pain goes away, so they'll need the pain relief thing.
Well, it's amazing
how effective just that is.
Yes. Yeah. Time for Debbie's healing.
I looked at your protocol and said that I have to get to every corner of my house and spray something, maybe? I don't know.
I have a cold base.
I can't get downstairs.
No.
I'm too weak to get downstairs. I can't do that.
No. Look, people who can't do that, the Divine Team, Archangel Metatron and Archangel Raphael go there to take care of everything. And it's great for those who can't do that, the 4-point. And also, all of you guys out there, if you're out of the country, don't get Lucas's Palo Santo spray and all that because the international shipping is awful. Get local stuff, please. Even the sticks, the better than nothing, the Palo Santo sticks. But anyway, so the problem with – the only problem with Archangel Metatron and Raphael coming over is that – almost 50% of the time, this is funny, people wake up in the middle of the night and they see this giant-ass, dark, tall figure standing over their bed, hovering over them. And they freak out. And they think, oh, my God, the negative energy is a really fierce. Now, it's not. It is him. But I don't know. Yeah. He just likes to make himself known. It's really weird. But he's benevolent and
yeah.
kind, and he's wonderful. So, y'all, don't get scared. Eric, what's the up
That's
about
right.
that? Why does he want to be seen?
It's part of it has to do with their vibration as well, because it's like when they have that work done, it's like the field around them becomes very clear. It's like it goes
okay.
through a shift. So it's also picking up. But also Eric just says, why not? Why not? It's like a little, hey, we're here. It's to let you know that something's
oh,
working,
so
something's happening. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay,
yeah,
well, that's cool.
Absolutely.
But it has freaked a lot of people out. So,
well, yeah,
you know,
if you're not used to having being standing over you and that's not something you're regularly
but
happening, it is a little freaky.
Call out to Archangel Metatron, don't, please, because, you know, I get bombarded with so many emails anyway, and these panic emails
yeah,
are really a lot.
To it. You can ask.
Yeah,
if that scares
you,
like if that, they don't want to scare you.
Yeah, please tell them not to. He'll be there.
Yeah.
You're not
yeah.
going to usher him away. But please,
right.
because
right.
I don't want you to panic and email me. And I do care about you, but I also care about me and all the emails I get that take so much
yes.
time.
Hey, Debbie, can you tell us how you
oh
met Eric?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Eric
yes.
and I have been working
yes.
been working together for, oh, 6 months or so. I don't know. I was just listening to your podcast, you know, your channel. And I thought,
yeah.
oh, shoot, I wonder if I could call Eric, you know. And I called
oh,
him.
Oh,
walk
beware,
right in. Go
ahead. For, Debbie. Oh,
all right,
oh
wait a minute. Yeah,
tell
I got
about how you work
stories
together.
To tell you. I'll be telling you.
Oh,
well, anyway, I have a spirit. He's done some work. I have a spirit group there's a spirit group that I'm involved with that meets every other week. And he's come
yeah.
in and done work with the members there, taking away dark shadows and entities off of them. And they're doing a lot better, those ladies. And then what was really cool, though, was my niece died. She was 50.
Well, that's not cool.
No. Oh. She died yeah. 50, but couple months ago, and the next morning,
so
she was just abundant, high energy person, and she was in ICU for like 3 months. That's how
oh,
3 weeks, and then she died. Mm-hmm. But anyway, she come bounding into my room through my bathroom door. And she goes, "Hi, I feel so much better now. I'm just tired of being strapped out of that bed. I feel great."
Oh.
And she looked great too. And then then here comes Eric. He walks through the hall door, and he comes in, and he goes, "Well, hi, Eric." I said, "Here's Cheryl." I said, "Well, would you help her, you know, I read your book, by the way. I've got your book, and I help her, you know, navigate the other side," because she had just passed away the day before. He said, "Sure, I would. I'd be happy to." And he took her hand. But what was weird, interesting, is that to get her in clear focus, Eric got fuzzy. To get him in clear focus, she got fuzzy. It was like
wow.
they're two
That's
different
cool.
energies, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And
he
took her
That's
hand
so
and
cool.
they walked off, and he was helping her get through it and the viewing and all that. And she came to me in the viewing. I said, "Just remember, Cheryl, they can't see you. You know, they love you and all that, but they can't see you." Because a lot of
yeah.
People walk around, "Hi, how are you? Can't you see me?" You know, I do. You know, I'm a medium, and so I've seen a lot of the spirits, just the newly deceased, just really frustrated because people can't see them. They won't talk to them,
right.
and all that. It's very depressing for them. So, but
wow, that's
amazing.
You really helped. They call.
Oh yeah. I've gone battlefield.
Do you ever help them call?
And, oh yeah.
Do you ever,
oh yeah.
Oh wow. Wow, you are a hybrid child, Bill. I mean, God.
Yes, he sure is.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Has Eric pranked you at all or done anything rascally?
Yes. Let me tell you what he did.
I apologize.
Okay. I don't know how many pranks he does. Well, he just pranked me again, too. I guess it was him. He won't answer me yes or no. I'll get it up. Maybe Michelle can get out of it. Okay, so my son and my daughter-in-law said, we're coming. So I go to the store, and I buy all these groceries. The trunk was full. And in my weakened state, I can really only get in the cold stuff, and I have to have help with the rest of it. But anyway, so the whole trunk was full of groceries. And so I come in, and, things have been put away, whatever. And I tried to start making stuff, and I didn't have the stuff to make it. I go, wait a minute, I know I bought this and I bought that, and oh my God, what happened? And I was so mad. I went through all the things I didn't have. I was so mad. I was going back to the grocery, and something told me to check the trunk. I opened that trunk, and it was full of groceries.
Oh. So wait, where were the groceries before? You brought them in?
They weren't there. Then, it was empty. I saw that trunk was totally empty.
Oh my God!
Eric, I'm going to tell you, Debbie. He's done that to me with a grocery bag, with one grocery bag, where all the grocery bags will be in the house, and I know I've carried it in, and I can't find the bag, and the bag's back in the truck. He has done that. That is so funny. Yeah, that's him.
Well, one thing he did to me. He did something very similar to me. He knows I have an obsessive compulsive personality. So I have all my stuff on the to-do list on my iPhone, but also every day create on an index card that whole list, kind of little scratchy things off, man. So, and all of a sudden my precious to-do card, index card, went missing. I know I had it in my purse, my black purse. I'm one of those people that have the same purse and never change them because too lazy. Same with earrings, whatever. And I looked everywhere, and I was really getting distraught because there were things, my memory is so awful, there were things I needed to remember. But anyway, eventually I just let it go, and then I looked over at the piano. There's my purse where I left it, and there's the white index card, not buried in it, but sticking up at 90 degrees with like 3 or 4 inches showing.
No.
I know.
Rascal.
But, I think he does things to just make himself known. You do that, Eric, to have fun for yourself. And to lighten up and raise their vibration and not be so gloomy, woomy about death and about spirits. Is that why?
Yeah.
It is.
That in the trunk full of grocery were my eggs, right? I want to tell you, I got them in, and not one of those eggs didn't have a break in them, not one of them. I mean, little hairline fractures in them. I was like, okay. They didn't come back.
Wow.
Visualization, well, eggshells don't do that. Yeah, everyone had a crack in them. That was weird. So,
they did have cracks, or they did not?
They did. Every egg had a hairline fracture in it, every one of them.
And they didn't when you bought them. Eric.
No.
All right, so, Michelle, I think it would be really cool to have a show just for people to call in and share their abduction experiences and ask about them. Wouldn't it be awesome?
I think that's a great idea.
Another one, and also maybe in combination, maybe separate, people who think they might be hybrid kids. And so they can ask about that. I think that those, like, all-in-one or two dedicated shows, that would be so cool.
Yeah.
You guys,
I'm making note now.
If you like that idea. Yeah.
Yeah,
so Debbie,
let us know.
I think people would like that.
Yeah, Debbie, do you have any services you want to share or any contact information to share?
I do several different kinds of readings. One, I do like the personal reading. Now, I do everything by energy off of pictures. I used to do tarot cards, but they literally suck the energy out of me. But I found it's like you give me a picture of anyone, dead or alive, doesn't matter. I can put my fingers on it. If I can get a vibration off them, they come to me, their higher self, and start talking to me. So, so I do that. And so with that, I do the mediumship. That's for people. That's a different reading. But if somebody wants to say, I want one for myself, then they just, as long as I have a picture, I can pick up on what they need. And if I need to throw the cards, I will. But generally, I don't. I get what they want. Yeah. And then Then I do past life readings, which I guess not a lot of people do that. Yeah, that is a whole belt. That is so fun. It's like going back in time. I mean, I've been home.
That's cool.
Da, 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 da.
For instance, that is awesome.
Yeah, one time a friend of mine in this group that I go to, she just was obsessive over these old Queen Anne homes, the ones about fall down, you know, the old ones. Every time she saw them, she wanted to buy it. And so I did a past life reading while we were group. But anyway, I just went back, and suddenly I'm walking out of this dark graveyard, and there's a man that's well-dressed, a little bowler hat and mustache, you know, very smart. And he's standing there waiting on me, and I said, "Oh, wow, look at this." I said, "What year is it?" He goes, "Well, 1896, of course." I go, "Okay." And I walked with him down this cobblestone road with the firelights on either side, you know, the lamps, fire lamps. And we walked down into his home. And his home was a Queen Anne, a new Queen Anne at that point. And I went in and I met his family, his wife and his children.
Wow.
And he was so happy there. It was such a happy lifetime for him. He worked at a bank. He had his family, you know, life was so wonderful. And so I came back and I told this lady, I go, "The reason you keep wanting to buy these old Queen Anne homes is because that is where you were happy. They were never going to make you happy at this time."
Oh, and she was the man? She was the man?
She was the man. She was the man. Yes, it was her.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
The fact that you deal with pictures.
She was sitting right there. I didn't have to do her picture, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. But the reason why looking at people and looking at their photographs can carry you back and to give you information from their higher self, et cetera, is that that's all cellular energy reading biofield. The biofield of a name. The biofield of a photo, the biofield of the actual person.
Yep.
Scalar energy takes that, and it's informational energy, and it never degrades over infinite distances. And that's why scalar energy is so amazing. Do you want to take a couple questions from listeners before we close off?
Yeah.
Blue ball, nobody. Okay. All right. Let's do that. And wait, how can they get in touch with you?
I'm at your everyday psychic at 222@AOL.com. They can get
all right.
That
well,
way.
We'll put that very difficult thing in the description box. So don't worry, people. All right, so awesome. All right, let's go ahead and see, and maybe Debbie, you'll need to pitch in and help with these people coming in. Go 74 to 229 area code. Hi there, how you doing?
Hi, how are you all doing tonight?
Good. What can we do
Hi.
For you? What's your first name and where are you calling from?
Yes, my name is Melvin. I'm calling from Georgia.
Hi, Melvin from Georgia. What you got for us?
Well, I just, you know, I'm going through some things. I just want to see to get a general reading if you are doing that.
No, we can't do a general reading. You had to... Do you want a message from Eric or your higher self that's most important for you to hear, maybe? Because a reading is like something you have to schedule with Debbie or Michelle or somebody. All right, let's go for that. Eric, a very brief, because we want to try to get some many callers in if possible. Melvin, Georgia, what's your call for Eric or Debbie or Michelle?
And Melvin, Eric is just, he's waving his hand at you, and he's just saying, you know, to bring some more abundance in your life, affirm that you're a limitless being. Affirm that you have nothing that holds you back from what it is that you desire. Because he says that sometimes the way that you talk inside, it puts a box around you. And it's not allowing all that's able to come into you to come in. And he's speaking energetically. He says, use some affirmations. Change the way that you talk to yourself. Because he says you have good things that are trying to come to you right now. Abundance.
Ooh. Melvin, so say, just say, I am divine and I deserve to be so. I am whole and part of God and I deserve to be so. And I am worthy of all abundance. Because there is no scarcity. That's an illusion. It's all there for you. Awesome.
Yes, that's right.
All right. All right, let's go over to the next caller. Thank you, Melvin, for calling in from Georgia. And we got somebody from the 303 area code. Hi there. How you doing?
Hi, is it me?
It's you. I don't know. Is it you?
I'm so excited. Greetings, fellow aliens.
Hi.
I am really excited about your topic about the hybrids and also experiences with Eric, because I've had some. So, but I would like, I would love a message. And I just heard Eric just then. That was weird.
Oh, my God. It's like, I can tell you're very cute. Betsy, he's flirted with you before. I can feel it.
Yeah, I talk with him a lot. He's a...
All right, so what you got for her? What's your first name and where are you calling from, darling?
I'm Christine, and I'm in Colorado.
Colorado, okay. What you got for her, Eric?
Debbie, do you want to go ahead?
No, go ahead. That's Eric. Go ahead, Eric.
All right. Well, he does think that you're awful cute.
I knew it.
Aha.
I think he's cute too.
Crushing.
Whenever Eric has a little bit of a crush on somebody, he always gives me the cartoon of the eyes that go booga, like
the,
out of the eyes.
Yeah, the pop
like
out the heart. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So, and that's what he's doing. That's what he's doing for you.
Oh, how cute.
So are you questioning, like, as we were talking, because he just says, if you think that you're a tall white, you are. He says, if you're wondering what you are. He goes, you're a tall white. You're a hybrid.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I sometimes I wonder, now, do we have children? Some of us have children, like,
Yes, and
oh,
you
God,
know,
yes.
And you do. You feel that you do. Because Eric says, yes, you do. Yeah.
I miss her.
I've had people ask me through Atlanta Scalar when I used to have the yes or no questions, which I don't have time to do, if they have children. So, yes. Well, how many? Oh, 554. It's just incredible.
Yeah.
You know, your DNA is
all
out there. Thank God, because we need hybrid children. We need these light workers, these healers out there to help raise the vibration of the human collective and Gaia.
Eric is also saying too, he's like, you've got a lot of ability. He's like,
what's that?
Opening up your ability.
You got ability.
He's like holding his, he's whispering over like, keep opening up your ability. There's more coming.
Really? Ooh. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
I'll look
that's
forward
awesome.
To that. I'm open to that.
Yes.
Oh,
he
let's try to get
right.
one
you
more real
open.
Quick one. Let's try to get one more quick one. It has to be fast, people. All right, 561 area code. Hi, you won the lotto. What you got for us? Some real quick
Lisa.
Questions for Eric?
Yes.
Or...
I have a new job opportunity being offered. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, what's your first name and where are you calling from?
Martha, Florida.
Martha, Florida. Quick, Eric, what you got?
He says, be grateful for it because this is a great opportunity. He says, be grateful for it. This is an opportunity that has growth. So he says, however you are entering into this job, there is more to it. He says, be grateful for what you have. So I don't know if you're thinking, I don't know if this is what I want or if this is not quite great.
I already have a job. I already have a job. So. And I'm being offered this one. I have no growth in the job I'm in currently, so that's why I'm thinking of taking the other job.
He says,
and it'll be offered to me?
Pardon me?
It'll be offered to me?
Yes. He says, be grateful for what you already have. Show gratitude to the job that you have to open up the energy to receive this new one.
There we go. Oh, my God. 10 seconds. All right, I'm going to close by saying, y'all get in touch with Debbie. We got the information in the box. And we also have Michelle Gray at thehealingh-art.com. Yeah. Love you guys.
Love you. Love you, everybody.
Love you.
Thanks
you
for coming, Debbie.
Much.
Love you.
Love you,
Eric.
Thank
you.
Pleasure.
Thank you, everyone.
My pleasure.
Love you, Mama. Good night, everybody.
Bye. Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.